Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Tomorrow is July 1st, as it took us 5 minutes to establish that in the last break.
Yes.
So recreational marijuana becomes legal tomorrow in this state. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. You will not, as part of this law, be able to blow a pot hit marijuana smoke into your dog's face.
Yeah, don't do that anyway.
Yeah, don't do that anyway.
It's a new law, so pay attention.
Cat too, right?
It will be a crime to blow smoke into any pet's face.
Even the dog's name is Toke. Still can't do it.
Joe LaChance, the weed guy, is on. Hey.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Morning. Dude,
tomorrow's July 1st, just so you know.
Yes. Oh, I know. I do know that. It's marked on my calendar, big red circle. But,
to match your big red eyes.
Exactly.
So did you know that was part of the deal?
Yes, I did know that was part of the bill. I don't know why they put it in there. I hope not too many people do it, but yeah, it is a Class C misdemeanor, which basically means maybe a fine or probation, whatever. You're not going to go to jail for it.
I have to say, dumb young me has blown weed into a dog's face.
Myself included.
I can feel heat coming from my right side right now. Not even
myself included.
Like lasers.
And I think the main thing they don't want you doing is feeding it to the animal.
Hold it. Has anyone else here blown pot smoke into a pet's face?
I never had pot near an animal because I was always outside.
Phil?
I have not. I've witnessed it happen.
Why?
Ashley?
Why? No, of course not, because you're not supposed to do it.
She snorts coke. Boy, that dog just keeps running.
That dog has a whole other set of problems. It could use pot, actually.
Yeah, it needs the little chewables.
Right. Edibles. House almost burnt down because the grill's too close to the siding.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Then there was a time the dog was missing and called 911. Yes.
Yeah, I know. People, it was dumb me, you know?
Yeah.
Young. Mostly, we were young when we did
that. Yeah, like next week. Problem.
Well, when they come over to you, they put your, what's that you're doing? Like,
right. That's what.
Yeah.
Just kiss them on the lips instead.
Then they want a whole bunch of food afterwards.
My cat used to come specifically in the room every time I was smoking weed, sniffing her, and would just sit there because I think it liked it.
That's my catnip, man.
I wonder how they came about this law in here. I think a lawmaker thought this one out. I think it's a pretty good one because what's going to happen? You can now post videos of yourself smoking weed. What's going to happen? Let's take that a step further.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
Here,
next, you're
going to
see videos of people blowing smoke. And so stops all of that.
Dog is stoned, man.
Yeah.
Oh, let's say your dog ate weed. You gave your dog weed by accident or something. You brought it to the vet because it got sick. The vet has to report you.
Oh.
Wait, what?
The vet has to report you.
Because you
if
weed?
Your dog ate weed or something, let's say your dog ate one of your brownies,
right?
Or it ate your bag of weed by accident, and you had to bring it to the vet because it is not good for dogs, especially if they eat it. You had to bring it to the vet, and you had to tell the vet the truth. The vet has to report you
even after tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, so just make sure it doesn't happen.
Because it's illegal to give your dog weed, and you did something illegal.
Into a bag of chocolates, am I going to get reported to the police for that?
Then you're going to have to explain to the police that it was an accident.
Right. No, chocolate.
Chocolate.
Oh, chocolate is bad for dogs, right.
Right.
Well, you'd have to explain to the police why, and I would assume if your dog drank too much liquor, if you drank liquor, you'd have to do the same thing.
Just think, if your dog eats your weed, it's going to come back out as a brownie anyway.
That was just gross. That is one thing. I'm sure it was one of those older legislators, maybe a pet lover.
Right.
Why'd you say it like
who
that?
Who read an article.
You do sound a little annoyed.
Yeah, why did you say it like that? A pet lover.
Well,
we all love pets here.
Yes, I am a pet lover too, but there are some people who are more pet lovers than others.
The crazy pedophile.
Extreme, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Extreme, yes.
Yeah.
Have you ever had your dog get into your weed? I've heard
stuff. No. Yeah? No, that's never happened.
There's probably
that will never happen.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking this one through.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't want to hear those stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So first I thought, oh, it is funny. And then I thought, no, that wouldn't be funny.
They will eat anything.
They will eat anything.
Yeah. A friend of mine's dog ate his joint.
Okay. Well, that's
pretty close.
Weed, right?
Right. So
that's weed,
a joint of peanut butter.
Yep.
But I, my dog would eat the ends of my socks.
Wow. Hardcore,
and,
huh?
Loved the crotch of a female of female undergarments.
Right. I don't know why that's true,
but it happens, right?
All the time.
It was designer.
All the time.
They eat that right out. Go on.
Designed the crotchless panties.
I think you need some air conditioning over here.
Right. Obviously.
little ventilation.
Little ventilation.
I think you could
here.
Use a little air on that thing.
Right.
That's so true. Why?
That burns my nose. That's gotta go.
I smelled
gotta
you. Go. Down the block.
Gotta go.
Down the block, I smelled you.
My socks and the ladies' underwear. Hey,
by the way, you
Halls.
Buddy, I eat your car seats, too.
Well, see, that's a tip for everybody. Do not wrap your weed in ladies' underwear.
Gotcha.
Women do not.
See?
Do not store it down there.
Right. Don't put your socks.
Don't store it down there.
Yeah, right. Don't put it down there. Because the dog will eat it. Right. Next thing you know, you got a relationship.
Yeah, there is something about that. So, all right. Well, don't blow hits of weed into your dog's face.
And keep in mind,
they're going to be looking for these videos. So,
yep, your vet will have to report you.
Yep.
Keep your weed. You know, I think my impression is everything changes tomorrow, but nothing's going to change, right? The people who smoke weed are going to have weed, and the people who don't aren't going to have weed.
Right.
They're just going to be able to, we're going to smell it more. I think that's the big change starting tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Right. But you know all the restrictions. I did want to mention this. All the restrictions that they put on weed as where you can smoke it also apply to cigarette smokers and e-cigarette smokers.
So no smoke at all.
Oh,
yes. I don't think they realize that in the bill they wrapped them all up into one little blanket.
Oh.
And so all the restrictions, that means college dormitories, that means parking lots and retail establishments, that means any state-owned building, that means anywhere on a hotel premises. So, I mean, they're cigarette smokers and e-cigarette smokers should understand that they have now a lot less places they can do that.
Where is what's left for the cigarette smoker? Right?
Right.
Quit.
What's left? Where can you go?
Just swallow it.
That's why these billionaires want to get into space.
Yep.
They can have a cigarette.
They want to go have a cigarette.
You know what?
That's the only place you can.
Here's an opportunity to make money, have a smoking park. A place you can smoke.
Yeah, but you know, your neighbors will start bitching about it.
Well, no, you have some place, you get like industrial area, and you have a smoking park or a smoking building where everybody can smoke.
Someone will complain about
right.
it.
No, they'll find a way to ban it.
In this building, you used to be able to smoke in the studio.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a thing. A rock radio station.
Oh, yeah.
You have an ashtray. And then it was, you can't smoke in the studio. So we would smoke right outside the door.
Yeah.
Inside?
With the door open.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was, you can't smoke in the studio complex. So now you have to go smoke like out in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then it was, you can't smoke in the building. So then you have to smoke outside.
Right.
And then it was, you can't smoke out. Right outside the door because people have to walk through
right.
there. So now you have to go find like a spot in a far corner of the parking lot.
Right.
Where it's like, you feel like a social leper.
Seriously.
It's like, hey, you know.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yep.
It's like this dark, seedy thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Next
yeah, I think weed smokers are used to it. You know, you've always had
you had to hide.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
That
is true. Yep.
Yeah. So this is going to affect cigarette smokers, too. I think that anybody who smokes cigarettes or e-cigarettes should really look through that bill at the places they're going to be able to do it now because they don't want to get a ticket.
Or just be ready for someone to say, you can't smoke, you can't do that here.
Right.
Right.
Well, I was doing it here yesterday.
Hello.
Well, today's July 1st.
Oh, right? No, October 1st. They're giving the people like some leeway to October 1st.
Okay, cool. So
for that one.
All right, Sam. So have fun.
All right.
But all beware. Right.
Was there
smokers
anything
beware.
Else in this bill? Joe LaChance, the weed guy, is on. The recreational marijuana becomes legal in Connecticut tomorrow. Well, anything else in there that you noticed that you thought, oh, this is great, or, oh, they're going to have to fix that?
Yeah, there was another thing. They had this new Delta 8 products called Delta 8 CBD, and now they're all banned because they were finding that it was getting people high. It was legal THC. They were getting around it because it came from hemp.
Right.
It was the THC out of hemp. Well, now that's all banned, and people were selling it in the stores as legal way to get high and all this kind of stuff. That's all banned now.
Really?
So what do you do if you were selling that?
You have to have all the products off yourself by July 1st. My brother owns a CBD shop, and he got a letter from the DCP that told him all those products had to be removed from the shelf and destroyed by July 1st. And he just got it last week. They gave him a week.
How much inventory did he have?
$1,000.
Oh.
Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And
but
he's not
like
the only one.
Oh, jeez. And you can't get that back from the, like, you can't say, hey, company.
Yeah, reimburse me. Those guys should step up and try and do that. But, yeah, so that's another thing under the bill that people should be aware of. If you've been buying those Delta 8. How's he handling it? He is doing a blowout sale.
Ah.
And then whatever, you know, he has left. He's just going to have to put away. I don't think he's
Christmas gifts.
It.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can gift it. Yeah, this is true. You can gift it.
Guess what you're getting?
Yeah.
They'll probably have to give it away as a promotional item. Or
right.
Yeah,
find
your
VIP customers and then a couple of family members you like, and then there you go.
A last minute gift.
Right, exactly.
Here you go, Grandma.
All right, anything else?
Well, those were the three big things, I guess. The pets, the cigarette smoking, I was shocked when I read that.
Wow.
And then, the Delta 8.
Where can people go to look this stuff up if they're interested?
Well, there's a good summary on a site called MPP.com. I mean, they can go to the CGA website and look up the bill number and read the entire 288 pages, but there's a really good summary.
I'd rather be tortured. Waterboard me.
Yeah, me too, but I had to do it. But yeah, MPP.com put together
what
really
is it?
Great. MPP.
M is in mom or marijuana?
Yeah, MM is, marijuana, right. Marijuana Policy Project.
Oh,
and they
that
put
sounds
together,
fun.
And PP is in PP, yes.
They did put together a really good summary.
Okay, very good. All right, Joe, what are you going to be doing tomorrow? Are there any special events for the first official?
Tomorrow night over in Hamden at Treadwell Street, over by where the cellar is there is going to be a giant open consumption cannabis party.
Wow.
All
there's
right.
Going to be vendors.
I know we have a lot of
bands,
TV stations that listen. Write this down.
Yep.
Here you go. Here's your camera shot.
Treadwell Avenue at 3 o'clock it starts. There will be a big 420, obviously, smoke out and food, everything. Barbecue. Going to be great.
You have enough room for everybody?
Yeah, it's a giant place, big parking lot out there.
Got enough food.
It's where the space ballroom is. The space ballroom.
Oh.
That's where it is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. So if you're walking
right
around
in that whole big area down there.
Wow. So if you're walking around there tomorrow, you're going to smell weed heavily.
Are.
Oh, you will. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's going to be a great time. We invite anybody who wants to come down and enjoy the first day of legalization with us. All the people who helped put it together, all the activists will be there.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good time.
We've been asked to do a couple things or show up at a couple things, and I just think that the photos that come out of those, like, hey, we're all going to get high, man, are never really representative of the people who smoke most of the weed.
Yeah.
They're just regular people, want to work.
Exactly.
And then in between life, they'll take a puff here or there.
Friday
those
night.
People who show up at those things, they're the Joes of the world. The alien glasses.
Right.
Stoned out of their mind.
Baseball bat, right.
Oh, there's people that are more extreme than me.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah.
Yes, and you're right. Those tend to be the people that end up in the pictures.
Yeah.
Because the other people don't want pictures taken of them when they're high.
Right. Or the media feels like, well, these people look normal. We want people who look like they're whacked.
Exactly. Want to paint right. a picture here.
So that's perception. Like, if you smoke weed, you're whacked.
You're whacked, you know? Man.
So, all right, Joe. This sounds great, man. Yeah. Good for you. It's yeah. all happening, yep. man. It's tomorrow.
Yep.
It's like Christmas for
yep.
you. It's like Christmas
out.
You've been waiting 10 years for.
I can't wait to open the present.
It would be funny if the government, like, if this was just a big practical joke. Right. There's, like, one line in this bill where it's really not legal, and you guys have this thing tomorrow.
Right.
And the cops show up and say, ha, 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 get in the car. Right.
Morons.
Right.
For
you.
All right, brother. Appreciate
all
it.
Right.
Thank you. Good friend of the show is going off to compete in Nathan's 4th of July International Hot Dog Eating Contest. Nick Weary, competitive eater, is on the show. What's happening?
Not too much, guys. Just pretty psyched. We're only a few days out now, so now's when the crippling anxiety sets in before the crippling indigestion.
Wow. How many hot dogs have you... Like, what's your best number right yeah. now? Are you anywhere near Joey Chestnut?
So my numbers have been, the best number at the table that I've hit is 39 and a half, but I'm actually the only competitor in the men's contest that number has improved in the last 3 years. So I'm from 10th to 6th to 3rd in the last 3 years.
You're hungry for
you know, my practices are, yeah, they're much, much better than they have been. And last year I did 39 and a half on 3 days' notice. Because wow. Miki was just supposed to be competing, and they basically called me literally 3 days before, and they're
oh,
like,
"Oh, because of COVID,
no.
they needed people."
Yeah, so
like, right.
So somebody can't.
I'm
come,
having a hard time
so
hearing you, Nick.
Kind of the pretty Nick, girl who needed a date.
Nick, yeah. I'm having a hard time hearing you. Can you talk into the mouthpiece?
Yeah, yeah.
Act
so
like
they,
it's
they
a hot dog.
Right.
Yeah. Right into the gullet.
Right into the hot dog.
Yeah,
right
no problem,
end.
Guys. So,
all right, so
the number will be higher. Yeah.
All right, so you're going to do better than 39 and a half.
Undoubtedly.
No yep. doubt.
He'll do 40.
What is Joey Chestnut's highest number?
75 is the record that he hit last year in some wow. like nice indoor conditions. Yeah.
Wow.
So indoor mm-hmm. and outdoor are different conditions. That'll change how many hot dogs you can have?
Well, the wind speed, velocity, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You got to count for the wind. No, when it's like 98 degrees with a billion percent humidity, the last thing you want to do is eat your, you know, 50-second beef tube. As opposed to inside in 73 degrees and air conditioned, it's a little bit nicer. But with that said, we'll be in front of a live crowd again this year as opposed to an indoor ASMR like last year was. So it'll be pretty cool to get thousands of people either screaming for you or against you. And to be honest with you, I kind of like it better when they're screaming against me or at me. It's like, great. I'll be a little bit more motivated to shove it down your throat, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, so last year was weird, right? No crowd. It just did sound like a weirdo fetish video.
Oh, it was chewing.
Yeah, just a lot of chewing and gulping.
Right?
Did yeah. that distract
yeah, exactly.
you? Like you're hearing,
I would freak.
It was a little bit different, but the bigger distraction was, again, not having the thousands of people kind of screaming and what have you. I did like the plexiglass dividers, so you're not covered in kind of debris and crystal
right.
light and hot dog buns.
Someone else's chewing, yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah,
crystal light and hot dog buns. That sounds like a great night.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, isn't it? That's everybody's fun Saturday night.
That's
so.
A Saturday night fantasy.
After you've eaten all these hot
yeah.
dogs, when's the soonest you'll eat again? Like, do you have dinner that night, or you don't eat for like 3 days later?
Probably like maybe like late Sunday night. I might have like a pint of Ben and Jerry's or something, just
because
I want something sweet. I don't want anything salty. And then the next day, I try to eat really small meals to kind of increase how fast I digest everything. Because if you just eat, let's say, 55 hot dogs and buns, and they sit in your digestive tract, and you don't eat anything, they're going to sit there a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Wow.
How do you qualify for this? They don't let just anyone show up and do it.
No. It's there are, you know, regional qualifiers kind of all over the United States.
Wow.
They're planning on doing them internationally going into last year, but obviously that kind of got the kibosh put on it. But yes, you have to win a regional qualifier. This year, obviously, they didn't do them because the world was still in shutdown mode. But the last one I won was in Cape Coral, Florida. I had won the Queens one at Citi Field before. So normally, if you win a contest in the top male and female number for that contest.
You're coming in and out here. Can you keep the phone like in one spot?
Like a hot dog.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably just service in my apartment. My bad. But, yeah, you got to win the highest male or female number at a regional qualifier goes.
Oh, wow. Do you have to pay to get in, and do you get any money if you're not number one?
I don't think I would do this if I didn't get paid. You don't. You get paid. Our travel will be paid for to New York and our room and board, and we will get paid. You know, for placing. If you place out of the money, so to speak, obviously you won't get paid, but your accommodations will still be paid for. But obviously, the goal is the higher check with the higher placing. Like, nobody's there. I'm not disillusioned to think, you know, I'm going to crush everybody on that stage every single year, but you don't go into a contest if you think I have a chance of winning. People who say they're there to beat themselves, that's adorable, but that's what you practice for, right, is to do better than yourself. You compete to win.
Is this all you do, like hot dogs, you like chicken wings, stuff like that too?
No, they eat everything. They're competitive eaters. Okay. So there's not a specific, I'm just a hot dog guy.
Right.
What are the payouts? So first place, second place, third place?
So at Nathan's, normally the payouts are first place is $10,000, second is $5,000, third is $2,500, so on and so forth down the line. This year, from what I understand, the purse is halved, just probably due to 2020 or what have you.
Right.
But which you know, kind of sucks, but it is what it is. Like, I'm still there to go take my check, and Vegas hasn't come out with lines yet or anything on the contest, but I would guess Matt Stoney, Darren Breeden, and Jeff Esper, who are ranked 2, 3, 4 in the world, they're probably expected to place ahead of me, but I'm kind of there to go upset the apple cart. I kind of like ruining people's day, you know, in that regard.
And how old are you as compared to Joey Chestnut? Do you think he's getting close to his end?
It's hard to say, because he's kind of the case study, so to speak, in this, because he's been doing it for, I want to say like 16 years, 17 years. And Joey is like 37, 38. There are times when you see him and he looks 58. But, but no, he's Joey, everybody's body quits eventually. You know, and I like the guy. Joey's my friend most days. But at the same point, Joey's just a man. You know, he gets up and he puts his pants on one leg at a time, I assume. And he can be beaten. No different than LeBron James in basketball or Wayne Gretzky in hockey. Like, eventually somebody's going to go take that title. And I just texted Chestnut the other day. We were messaging, and I said, I'm glad you're practicing hard, because when I take that title from you, I don't want it to be because you laid it down.
I love this. Wow, I love your spirit.
Talking smack.
This is how you break barriers. Right. You believe and visualize yourself doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you would look very old the day after eating 70-plus hot dogs.
All those nitrates.
In a short period of time. Ugh. That would age you, I think.
All those bumps in your stomach.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little rough. Like, when you eat 15,000 calories, you know, that's like 50 of them is 15,000 calories, and you get enough sodium to, your face starts to look like a vascular cherry, and your hands look like Jimmy Dean sausages.
Gotcha. You have plump fingers and toes and a shriveled face.
Just so much sodium.
Right? Very attractive.
It's
sodium,
funny,
man.
Yeah. How long does it take you to recover from that?
Hot dogs is probably a good 24 hours, you know, good amount of fluid, good amount of water, good amount of like, basically questioning life choices in the hotel room the next day and things of that nature. But, but no, you know, as ridiculous as it sounds, being, you know, professionals and having done this handful of times, you got to know what you have to do is stay active, keep your fluid intake high, and just probably relish in the fact and enjoy that you put on a good performance.
Right.
Relish.
You know,
I realized that after I said it.
You know, what's funny is that you're in great shape, and so is your fiance. You're both in great physical condition. When I hear, wow, two professional eaters living together.
You just think of calories.
Eaters, you just think, you know, big people, but you defy that you're doing, you know?
Yeah, you know, I still train 5 or 6 days a week. You know, I'm not quite in the shape I was. Like, when I saw you guys, there's always pizza eating contest, you know, and I was competing in bodybuilding actively. But I like to maintain being in some dad bod leftovers, you know, for my competitive days and stuff. So.
Well, we wish you nothing but the best at Nathan's. Wow, wouldn't that be something if you broke the record and beat Joey Chestnut? That would be Mike Tyson going down.
It would.
That would be the equivalent of Mike Tyson going down. That would be the Red Sox breaking the curse. That would be a shockwave. That will be on everyone's phone. Yeah. Like, if that happens,
absolutely,
it will be this. Like, everyone will be at the picnic. Like, oh my God,
huh?
Look at
what
happened. It would really, it would shock the world. It would.
You should celebrate by riding the roller coaster if you win.
Right.
Like immediately after,
with the longest hot dog burp.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. You know, I proposed after eating 50 hard boiled eggs. So strange things happen.
So we definitely want to talk to you when we get back from vacation. We're off next week, so we won't be able to follow up early next week, but we wish you nothing but the best.
Yeah, good luck, man.
Thank you, Nick.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Enjoy your vacation.
Jeff Warshaw, the CEO of this company, is a super foodie. He's been all over the world and trying food. And he likes to push me out of my comfort zone of pizza and meatballs. So periodically he'll bring me somewhere and have me try something that I've never tried before. Yesterday was Ethiopian food.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. So I guess, although I've never physically been to Ethiopia, yesterday you and I traveled there.
It was interesting. What did you? Was it, that wasn't your first time trying Ethiopian food?
No, I had first had Ethiopian food, I think, in New York, I'm going to say 30 years ago.
Okay.
There was a restaurant called the Blue Nile. It was on the Upper West Side. It was like the one Ethiopian restaurant in all of New York. Huh. And I always wanted to try it, and I tried it, and I liked it. And yesterday, we had a great time, didn't we?
Yes. What came out first?
First were samosas, which were like triangular dough, kind of somewhere between a turnover and a savory, you know, savory turnover and an empanada, I would guess.
Yes.
And we had three kinds. One was chicken, one was beef, and your favorite was the lentil one.
That was great.
Oh, really? Lentils?
Wow. I
was
tried
it by far. It was kind of like an orange chickpea hummus with it that was spicy, and I thought it was really delicious.
I tried that one first.
That sounds good.
Lentil, and I said, there's no way those other two are better than this one.
Wow.
And I was right.
Fell in love immediately,
huh?
It
was great.
And they weren't that different because it was the filling was fairly minced. So you couldn't really tell almost too much from the texture, but the flavors were different. And I was so happy that the first bite you had, you lit up.
Yeah. I was like, okay, this is why I should try other places than more than just pizza and meatballs.
Right.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
And then they brought out a big platter of different completely different foods, and everything sits on this big, almost like crepe. It's the traditional Ethiopian bread called injera. And there was like scoops of each. There was yellow chickpeas, yellow split peas, excuse me, spicy lentils, spinach and potatoes, beef, and then they give us some lamb as well. And then they bring out a basket of more injera, and it's rolled up, and you tear off the piece, and you pinch it between your fingers, and you pick up the food like that. You don't use utensils.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But it's that thing that you just said that comes out, looks like a bandage.
Okay.
An ace bandage, and
right,
you roll it out,
okay,
and you rip off a piece.
Oh, like fruit roll-ups. But
to me, I thought, well, maybe that delivery system was good
right
a couple hundred years ago, but
right,
now we have forks and stuff. Why don't we just have forks?
This is the fork you can eat.
Right.
Okay.
Or you take the fork, you put it on that, right? But it was weird.
You push it on
you
there,
put
right?
Put it in your fingers, and you just reach in and grab it.
That's kind of cool. It's fun.
Yeah.
I was have clean hands.
I think your favorite was the beef and the lentils. Am I right?
Yes.
You're
absolutely
big on lentils there, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was it was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah,
spices. It's, you know, it's a little bit spicy, but I would call it like highly spiced in that it had lots of different flavors and kind of a blend between like North African and I think a little bit of Indian, and I was so happy that you enjoyed it, and it couldn't have been a lovelier service. The woman that took care of us was knowledgeable and friendly, and it was just a really nice time, as always. It's always a good time with you, Chaz.
Oh, well, I always have a great time with you, and I'm so glad I'm trying different things. I'm a blue-collar eating guy. I want cheeseburgers and, you know, French fries and pizza and meatballs. Mm-hmm. And to try this stuff, I would never say, what do you want to do tonight? You want to go, how about some Ethiopian food?
Right.
But this, It's like, see, this is why the, this is why you got to get out more.
Exactly,
man.
Right.
This I'm going to bet you that like a month from now, you're going to be thinking about that. You'll still be thinking about certain aspects of that meal.
Oh, no doubt.
Different experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Jennifer was giving me the the questioning last night, and you know we're going to be definitely going out to Ethiopian food sometime in the near future.
Yeah, yeah, and why don't you tell everybody a little bit about the name and the address, or you know where it was on Temple yeah. Street in New
yeah.
Haven.
Exactly. So I wish I could pronounce the name. It's Laibela, Lalibela.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Right.
And the server was Shilmat.
She was great.
She was great. Very nice. And service with a smile. The place was spotless. So
really?
I'm always big on that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Clean Jeff
place.
Comes out of the men's room and goes, it's spotless. And then we both know.
Yeah,
it's clean.
Exactly. Like, we knew right.
quality.
It was spotless, and the service was great. And, we were in and out. It wasn't drawn out. And we tried all these different foods. Highly recommend it. Anybody that wants something different, it would be really fun to do with a group of people. And you can all try things that you've never had before.
Ethiopian food. Who knew?
Wow.
Next, we've got to go to for Southern food. We have a place picked out. I can't wait for that.
Right. This is soul food, right?
Right.
Nice.
So there's mac and cheese, right?
Ooh.
There's grits.
Yum.
But fried chicken, I think, is kind of the one thing there that I know that we have to try.
Collard greens. Got to have collard greens.
Collard greens, I
collard
heard.
Yep,
pig's
great,
feet.
Aren't they?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'll subject you to that.
Okay.
It'll be
that, you don't want that, Jess.
Nope. No.
It's delicious, but I mean, I want to keep you coming back for more. I want to push you out of your comfort zone and not push you over the edge.
He ran away.
Right, just out, not over.
He jumped over the fence and left.
Yeah, because pig's feet, I think, for all the things on the pig, that's the last thing I'd go for.
I mean, they walk on them.
I'm sure they clean them. They wash their feet first.
No.
You know. But, you know, as always, Chaz, the part about our lunches that I enjoy the most is just hanging out with you and talking about all kinds of things. And, you know, I'm lucky. Everyone gets you in a large audience, but every once in a while I get you to myself, and I really enjoy it.
Oh, I feel the same way. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
All right, looking forward to the next one.
All right, Jeff, me too. Nick, the science guy, is this heat have you, like, you're nerding out in your science lab there?
Freaking out, man?
Well, I mean, it's not a huge surprise because, honestly, this is the trend. We see from year after year record-breaking temperatures, and so it's kind of a depressing trend. You know where this is going. You know, as the more we put greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, the more of these events we're going to see.
But do you do anything in your lab, or are you looking at stuff on your screens?
I don't have a very fancy lab. It's
a closet.
We're
really.
More about teaching the kids about sort of the basics of climate change so that they have an appreciation for it and know how serious a problem it is, so that hopefully we can face down this challenge.
Yeah. Here you go, kids. Here's some tinfoil and a little fan.
Is cow gas still a big thing with the environment?
That's what he just said.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's methane. So there are different kinds of greenhouse gases. That's important to know. And methane
is a good question.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, sure. Cow farts, you know, it's worth talking about.
Always.
I mean, they are very powerful greenhouse gases. Now, the thing about methane is that it doesn't last very long in the atmosphere. There's sort of a what we call residence time, the time in which a gas lingers in the atmosphere. Methane doesn't last very long, but it's very strong. Now, the carbon dioxide is the big scary one because even though it's not as strong as methane, it lasts a lot longer. So it's really important that we draw down the amount of carbon dioxide we put in the atmosphere.
Do you guys have some kind of like a, you know how we have those cameras that will detect a body inside of a building?
Oh, yeah, we actually have
okay.
one of those, yep,
okay.
the thermal
so,
camera.
So you have one of those for the whole planet, and can you see where the biggest hole is?
Absolutely.
Over Washington, D.C.
There's that. Right. But, like, who's the worst tenant, right? Is it India? Is it China?
It's got to be China.
It's got to be China.
It's always smoggy over there.
It's like, all right, hey, China, hey, look
it down there.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's your fault.
There's plenty of blame to go around. There's lots of countries that are polluting a lot. We've been polluting at different rates, though, different countries. So historically, the United States has been the biggest polluter, but lately, China has surpassed us as the biggest polluter.
I would say when the 70s, we were at our peak of being bad, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we were number one in not a good way.
Yeah.
In terms of what were our contribution to greenhouse.
Nobody remember like the crazy crazy environmentalists were like, hey, you know, these factories dumping all this stuff into the water, not good.
Right.
They're like, well, what do you mean?
It
washes. It washes right down the water.
How much to make this go away? Why am I gonna check over here?
It goes right down.
Yeah, put it in this little sewer, and then we never see it again.
And just,
it just gets amazing.
You didn't see
the
nothing.
The ocean is infinite.
You didn't see nothing.
Yeah. It disappears.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yep. That's how we got in this mess.
Well,
that, you know,
we're better now.
Yeah.
We are as a country. Not quite there, but better. And then. Anyway, so how hot is it? Holy crap.
Yeah, it's hot.
Yeah. When you see wires melting, power lines melting.
What's up with that?
That gets a science guy's attention, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is absolutely devastating for our infrastructure. Not just power lines, but, you know, shorelines, roads collapsing. So hurricanes are going to be more frequent as well. So that's going to cause a lot of damage to houses and all other kinds of buildings. So, we're going to take a big hit from this climate crisis.
This heat dome that we have over the country right now. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's
sort of a temporary effect.
Yeah, that's kind of moving out now, right? Some parts of the country are starting to feel relief from that. But what is that that created that?
That is a really good question. I defer to the meteorologists. But it's basically the basic idea is this extreme temperature that it has to do with the interaction of the warm air in the jet stream.
Complicated.
Right.
Talk to WFSB meteorologists to go into more depth, but it's like strong winds causing sort of like hot air to get trapped.
You know, it seems like you ever go to a party and they have the tent up so you can get in the shade,
uh-huh.
And then you go under the tent and you're like, you know what? It's nice that the sun's not beating on me, but damn, it's hot in here.
Yeah, it's a little stifling.
I feel like that's what someone put a tent up over the country.
Damn it.
It's like, okay, all right, the party's over now. Let's take it down.
Right,
let's
July 4th, probably.
We got to get this air flowing.
Yeah.
You just have like a wet dog hanging over you. Just going.
There's an analogy.
That's sure that's how it works.
All right, Nick
Giant
the Science. Nick the Science Guy from the Connecticut Science Center is on. Imagine being the first person eaten by a shark. This person might not be the first person, but it's probably the oldest discovery of a shark attack victim. Nick, what do you think about this?
I think it's fascinating. It really brings history to life to learn about this incident that happened so long ago but can feel so real. It's a pretty fascinating story. This body that was found, now the archaeologists, marine scientists think this was the oldest shark attack victim. By the way, it beats the record by 2,000 years. The previous record was a shark attack victim from the year 1000 AD.
Wow, this is the original, the OG.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Was there a quint afterwards?
This is the Tom Brady.
Right.
Like, he broke the record by thousands
of
years.
The Tom Brady of shark attack victims.
I'll catch up for you. $10,000.
But it's pretty cool. I feel bad for this poor ancient person because the wounds were just terrible. So he lost his left hand, probably when defending himself from the shark.
Uh-huh.
Lost his right leg. Also had his left leg severed because when he was buried, his leg was just buried on top of him.
Right.
So that was presumably lost in the shark attack. And he had about 800 different lacerations and other wounds all over his body.
Was it arm and leg?
Either that or he ran into the OJ of that time.
Right.
Oh, God.
He's a little stabby.
So they know it's a shark attack, right?
They did a lot of forensic analysis to figure out that it was
a tooth out or something?
It was mostly the imprints left on the bone that led the scientists to think that it was a shark attack.
Right to the bone.
Damn.
Yep.
Deep wounds.
Oh, that had to hurt.
So he's definitely dead before number 790.
Oh, yeah. By right 84, probably done. Yeah.
Yeah. So this thing just chewed him for a while.
Yeah. Right? Like tobacco.
Ate him and then used him as a toothpick.
Yep.
Yeah. But his body was retrieved. So there's some very brave friends of his that that got him to shore because he was buried on land. And, yeah, that's how we found the body. It was part of a burial site.
Well, I don't know if you saw Jaws 4, but they have the ability to track people.
They do.
And I think the shark in Jaws 4 took a plane.
It did, and then it got a cab. Remember that one scene where she's in the cab and the cab behind her had a fin sticking out?
I never got as far as Jaws 4.
They had to speed it up. There was actually a chase scene.
It's okay, I never got as far as Jaws 1.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's as much as I saw Jaws 1. You know, I'm going to need a bigger boat, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, wow, this thing wrecked this guy.
Right.
Probably nothing but just... unrecognizable,
like the parsley in your plate.
Human remains, and then his friends went and got him and then buried him.
Right.
It's cool the technology that was used to actually determine that it was a shark attack. They took a 3D map of the entire skeleton to do this analysis. So we got all these fancy tools now that can really help us learn all these cool mysteries from the past.
So now, when you do something like this, right? You do a 3D map. Can you put that data into a 3D printer and print out an exact replica of this skeletal remains so you can store the actual remains and scientists don't really have to screw around with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you're doing measurements,
absolutely.
You don't have to actually play with the bones.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can.
I mean, you've heard of the Microsoft Kinect, that like scanner. It kind of fizzled, you know. it was for a while the big thing to, you know, control a video game character with your body. But you can use a Kinect to scan your own face and then 3D print your own face.
Wow.
It's, you know, the same thing for any kind of artifact. You just scan the artifact. You have to process that into a 3D printer file and then just throw it into the 3D printer and it spits out a replica.
Wow.
See, at the bones, I played Jenga.
Yeah. So, wow. What do they do with these bones now? Did they go to a museum or they stay in a lab for a while?
Landfill.
Hope not the landfill. That
yeah.
Would be sad.
Sure?
I don't know what their plans are for this skeleton. It was part of this burial site. So it was in a lab for a while. But who knows? Maybe because of the significance of this discovery, it can end up in some museum for people to enjoy.
Or the dog gets it.
Be fun for the Connecticut Science Center.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll put in a request.
Oh, wind chimes.
The shark attack.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Nick. Thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Anything going
Thank
on
you.
At the Science Center?
Yeah, there's a cool workshop happening at the Science Center on July 17th. There's this special effects artist named Tyler Green who makes these super realistic makeup effects, and he's going to come to the Science Center and teach kids how to make cool, realistic effects.
Nice.
So
that is
check it out.
So cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
Can
it's going to be super fun. Yes,
you know what?
That'd
be fun to get him back around Halloween.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. We're going to actually do it again around Halloween time, too.
Great.
Be on lookout for that. But, you can check it out on our website, ctsciencecenter.org, for more information.
All right, Nick. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. Joe Myers, movie guy, is on. Hey, you like The Sopranos, do you? You know, the prequel.
Them.
Yeah.
Prequel coming back in October in theaters and on HBO Max. The Many Saints of Newark, the trailer was released yesterday. What'd you think, Joe?
It looks very promising. You know, I think it's going to be good. I mean, there's a lot of room there for, you know, telling how he became what he became and, you know, kind of like what Godfather 2 did with going back into the past.
AJ?
I mean, how about I'm thinking the guy who plays Tony Soprano younger.
Hold on. Why don't you tell me what you thought of the trailer?
I thought it was awesome, to be honest with you. I mean, it made me excited to see it. You know, I'm not really a Sopranos watcher. I don't have HBO.
Did you ever get through an episode?
I see
pieces here.
Yeah,
and there.
Pieces here and there.
Yeah.
Which I liked. I liked the character Tony Soprano and the bunch of guys who are around him.
All right. But you like the trailer?
I'm actually excited to see this TV show. Yes.
Yeah.
And like I said, the guy to play him as a younger Tony Soprano. I mean, looks perfect.
It's his son.
Look, I mean, exactly. It just looks perfect.
Yeah.
It was a great idea.
Look great.
Sponsoring us. Very hot in the monkey cage today.
It's very hot in the monkey
cage. Hearing the effects of the heat.
Right. My brain
Where on AJ?
Any moment now, like Jiffy Pop, my head.
I think we're all feeling it.
Yep.
And it's only been a couple of days.
Yes.
And this is why you know, you know now why when you go to the south, everything moves slow.
I don't know why these big pink bats are in here.
It's very hot here. The Yankees will get it.
Move slow. Everybody's got iced tea.
That's right.
Yep.
Right. Sit always, in the shade.
Always, talk slow.
They're always fixing to do something. They actually do it.
All right. Phil, did you see the trailer?
I haven't seen the trailer. I've been waiting because Amanda and I are watching The Sopranos. She's never seen the full run of the show before.
No, we've
just gotten to season six.
Well, it's on the Chaz and AJ Facebook page in case you want to see it.
Thank you.
I have to tell you, I'm sure I am 100% wrong here, but I saw the trailer and I said, this is a dog. One,
oh, no.
The trailer is the result of Instagram scrolling. This trailer, I want someone to do a count on how many different clips are in this short trailer. I couldn't even keep track of what was happening. It looked like someone just cut a bunch of things together. I could barely keep track of what was happening. And then I saw explosions and this and that.
Ray
and
Liotta,
so many
hair.
Different. And no one, that was the best part of the trailer. But there was no piece of acting scene that I thought, yes, great, dramatic.
Oh, really?
Mobster scene. There was never, it was clip, 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 one line, clip, which to me says, this is a dog. Like, they couldn't find 30 seconds here, 10 seconds here.
It's the same folks who made the last series doing this series.
No, I know. It's David Chase.
Right. I'm thinking.
I know. I'm sure I'm wrong. But I saw the trailer, and I saw this is the result of either, A, this blows, or, two, Instagram scrolling.
Right.
I think they do trailers differently now, too. So I don't even think this is the final trailer. I would bet, like, as we get closer, there's one that is going to have all of those elements that you're looking
for.
That
makes sense.
Yeah.
This is like the hype trailer. It's like, this person's in. This person's involved. Here's David Chase's name. There's
and then
an explosion.
This gets exploded. And then,
get ready.
I'm like, oh,
yeah.
It's a teaser. It's a teaser.
It's a get ready.
This fell off a truck. Exactly right.
Yeah.
This fell off a truck.
And that fell off a truck.
And this fell off a truck.
And this finger got cut off.
This guy lost a pinky.
And you didn't see nothing.
I'm sure I'm wrong.
Yep.
I just saw the trailer and I thought, okay, we can't have anything unfold in a trailer. It's like it's got to be clip, 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 clip.
You can blame Marvel for that. They started this trend that I remember.
Well, damn you, Marvel.
I mean, my problem with a lot of trailers is they tell you almost the whole story.
Mm.
You know, they give away a lot of the shocks in movies now in the trailers because they say studies show that kids want to see as much of the movie as possible before they go.
Really? Oh,
really?
Why the kids? Yep.
Yeah. That's why they do that. I questioned somebody once. Why do you show so much of the plot? And he said, that's what the younger crowd really gets turned on by.
Man, I disagree. One of the best trailers I've ever seen.
I do too.
Paranormal Activity. They didn't show a second of the movie. It was just crowd reaction to the movie for 30 seconds. I was like, I have to see what's going on.
Or
but Phil, that's genius thinking. How often does that happen?
Yeah.
You know?
Way too
go
much
online
here.
And look at the Shining trailer that Kubrick did in 1980. Go online and check that out on YouTube. It's incredible because it shows one scene, and it's just a pure teaser. It doesn't tell you anything about the story.
Wow. Yeah. Which scene?
Where the blood is coming out of the elevators. You know, it's sort of a dream sequence.
Right, right, right.
And, when you saw that cold before the movie came out, I was like, what in the world is happening in this film?
Right. Who spilled their grape juice?
But Kubrick was a genius at promotions.
I thought there wasn't one scene in this trailer for the Many Saints of Newark that I there was some acting. And you just saw it really like, this is...
I just, it comes out...
I can watch this person on screen all day.
I don't know. I got excited. I thought it was cool.
Hmm.
I just looked. It comes out October 1st. I'd say about six weeks before that, there'll be this trailer that you're looking for.
Yeah, I hope so.
And then you have people like my dad who doesn't care what the trailer looks like. He's just going to watch the series anyway.
I'm going to put a gold chain on my cologne.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
My T-shirt.
Things are a lot different than when The Sopranos came out. There's a lot of choices. And there's a lot, like, I've already spent a lot of time with this family. You know,
right, right.
I'm looking for new things. So you better get me real fast because it's a big commitment.
Yeah.
You know, it's not gonna, if it's a success, it's not going to be just one movie. It's going to be the whole
deal. Of course.
Yeah. So Quentin Tarantino mentioned on Bill Maher that he might be retiring.
Well, he always said that. I think he had a finite number of movies. I believe he has said he's only going to make one more feature film. Of course, that gives him the out of doing streaming and all kinds of other stuff. But he has said that, that he doesn't want to kind of wear out his welcome.
Well, that's a leave on top.
Yep, but you know what that last movie will be is what all of his fans are wondering, because Once Upon a Time might have been a good one, you know, to stop with. So
yeah,
how he's going to improve on that is going to be really interesting.
He did tease doing Reservoir Dogs again,
yes,
redoing it as the last film.
What do you think of that, Joe?
That's dumb. It's
do
great
we
the first
need
time.
Another one?
No, you don't.
AJ's a no. Ashley's a no. Phil?
Definitely don't touch that one. No.
I'm a no.
Yeah, leave
I'm
alone.
I agree. There, unless there's something, you know, first of all, do we want to see a five-hour version of it? Because
no.
He makes all of his movies way too long now.
That's actually the shortest of his movies. He was forced to put that in a box.
How about a guy version of Titanic?
Very tight.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'd leave it alone. I think it's a free bird,
yeah.
But unless he, you know, if he had more money, he would have, you know how sometimes you leave a project and you're like, son of a, I wish I could have done that one right, because
yeah,
it had the potential of being something so much more.
He'll put a bunch of flavors in a month as the actors on there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Do you really want to see a bunch of, these were classic actors who were in this one. What are you going to put in there now?
You know,
Bradley Cooper, who cares?
I care about Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, you might get Ashley in to see a Quentin Tarantino.
All right, so one person fills a seat. Yeah. And Eric is going to be dragged along, says two.
All right, this is great weather for movie watching, right, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, get inside, turn the AC on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Joe posted a picture on his Instagram yesterday. Coney Island, when was that, in the 50s?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
the couple kissing?
Under the boardwalk. The couple kissing under the boardwalk, yeah.
Well, the whole beach is full.
Yeah.
And if you, and I took the time to look through that picture.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff going on in that picture.
And what?
There's more than just a couple kissing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a great snapshot in time. Did you take that picture? Did someone, from your family?
That was on one of these retro sites. It was by somebody named Vivian Meyer, and I thought it was just great. And I had actually been to Coney Island last week for the first time in years.
Yeah,
I saw you posted. It struck me that it was, you know, that's such a great place, and it has such a long history. I mean, I rode on the Cyclone. I went on the Wonder Wheel. It was a great day.
That was my dad's hangout. He and my uncles ride their bicycles there from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
My dad was from Red Hook.
What did you see in that picture?
Well, the cool thing about that photographer specifically is that she was a street photographer. So she took a bunch of these. She loved these kinds of scenes.
Oh.
She loved to capture the unexpected.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then she died, and somebody found her suitcases full of these old, undeveloped films.
Out.
Yes. And then they had them all developed, and they're like, we never appreciated her. Look at her intelligence. Look at her photography. Amazing.
Look what she did.
Oh, wow.
And
what a great story.
She documented the city.
Yes.
Yeah, she documented the city.
But I got to tell you two things about that picture.
What's that?
One, there's a guy in a Speedo.
Oh, yeah. That was like the weird.
Like, what?
In the back, yeah.
What? I didn't know they came here before, like, 1972.
Well, yeah, that was the bathing suits back then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of them.
And the thing that struck me is there's only one person, of all of those people, there's only one person overweight.
Really?
And you would never see that now
in
America.
Well, they couldn't afford to eat, that's why, you know?
Yeah, no, but America in the 50s, we were fit.
Yes.
And she's the only one fully clothed.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, when you see those photos from back then,
only one.
They're not heavy. They're not heavy.
Now, if you take that picture now, it would be everyone's overweight.
Right.
I would be in that category. And then there'd be one fit person.
Me too.
Matt from Prospect has a question for you, Joe.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good morning, Joe.
Hello.
I was just curious.
Good morning, Matt.
Very good. Good morning, sir. How do you organize out your day to make it through all of these shows and keep up to date on everything between shows, movies, and everything like that? It's obviously a job for you, but how do you organize it?
You know, you've hit on one of the key problems nowadays. There's so much stuff to watch, you know, that, I mean, I follow a lot of my friends' advice. I have a couple of friends who are really savvy about, like, new streaming stuff, and they guide me in the right directions. But I think now to be a critic is almost impossible. There's just too much stuff. I mean, the movies are one thing, but television has just exploded, you know, and you could spend the rest of your life watching it, and you wouldn't catch up, really.
I just get the mental image of you waking up, making a cup of coffee, and going, well, I got to get to the movie by 9:30, and then if I can hit that TV show by 10, I'll be ahead of the game.
I got 15 shows, and I got to go shopping.
That is amazing to think about, because that's all I really want to do. Like, on vacation, it's just I can sit there and enjoy and be on the couch. Mm-hmm. And Joe's the opposite. He probably wants to go out and, like, accomplish stuff.
Right.
Well, I went out and saw F9, you know, the new Fast and Furious in New York, and I must say that was such a treat to be, you know, in a big theater with a pretty big crowd watching just, you know, a pure action film. I mean, that to me was like a pure summer night movie going experience.
Was it any good?
Good and bad doesn't really apply to that movie.
I love the tone in AJ's voice when he asked, is it any good? Please don't say no.
Let me just say this.
Thanks, Matt.
A lot of fun. Thanks, Matt. It was a lot of fun. It's kind of crazy. I mean, that series has really turned into James Bond. You know, they're like super spies now.
CGI, and, whatnot.
You know, you go to like 6 different cities. There's a sequence on a satellite in outer space. I mean, it's crazy, but I enjoyed every minute of it.
They went from being guys who, like, street raced, and they were, like, doing, like, these minor crimes on the side, stealing, like, car parts and stuff like that, to now they're, like, solving, like, international things.
Absolutely. And what's great about this one is they have cameos, like, spaced out every 20 minutes, and I wouldn't give away some of them, but they're
terrific. Helen Mirren's in there, I think.
Helen Mirren is in there. Kurt Russell is a rapper.
Yes.
Helen Mirren is involved in one of the biggest chase sequences in the movie in London.
That's cool.
Amazing.
I think
it's
I might
fun.
Want to see it's... that. Just that scene. I wouldn't watch the whole movie, but like if she's,
yeah, she's
driving
great.
Stick.
She's great. She's driving. She sort of rescues Vin Diesel from these people who are chasing him in London.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to see it just because it's so bizarre.
Right. And she's trying to preach.
Really bizarre.
That's the best thing about these movies. They just don't take themselves seriously.
No.
Like, we're going to have fun.
No.
Yeah.
Right. No. They're beyond criticism, really. You know, it's just you sit down there with your popcorn, your soda, and it just sort of washes over you. You know, and they have flashbacks in this movie to 1989 when Vin and his brother were kids. And I mean, it's just packed with all kinds of crazy stuff.
Do you want to talk about patriotic movies or you want to talk about special effects movies?
Weren't you going to tell us your favorite special effects movies?
Yeah. Cool. AJ?
I have my special effects movies. I have, Tron, for one thing.
I knew I could count on you.
That was like the first special effects movie they had. It was at the inside of a video game, practically. I would think it's
special
effects,
right?
Early
CGI movie, absolutely.
Right. I never actually saw it, but I saw a lot of commercials for it. Oh, don't you tell me anything about not seeing movies.
All the movies I've nominated, I've seen.
Disney, yes.
Tron.
But I remember that was big back then. I mean, everybody's like, oh, my God, you're Tron.
It was huge.
Yeah.
And they remade it. They remade it a few years ago. I never saw the remake.
Right.
AJ, is that something you thought out, or that was the result of Deer in Headlights?
It's on your list.
I wrote it, yeah.
Just showing me a piece of paper right now.
Yep.
Tron,
yeah. Because I remember how that was big back then.
What was the scene in there that blew you away?
I remember there was one thing, like the Tron, he's like on the motorcycle or something like that.
Yep,
and there was all
these
lines going around. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
Like if you were a stoner, it was like, oh, this is awesome, you know?
Wow.
But that's a good special effects movie.
It is.
Star Wars, the first one, kind of blew everybody away because it was all this stuff going on that you never saw before.
Yep.
The amazing size of the Death Star and all the other battleships they had and whatnot. That's a huge one right there.
It wasn't even so much that. It was what they were able to achieve with the budget that they had.
Right.
Yes.
And it looked real. They were actually having battles in space, and there weren't, like, wires hanging down holding things like Star Trek and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah, that really... That
was fun.
That was the birth of special effects because Paramount didn't have a special effects department anymore.
Right.
So they're like, what are we going to do? So they created Industrial Light and Magic. He created his own special effects company.
Yeah.
He got a professor and then a bunch of college kids in a warehouse with computers.
It's weed and Coca Puffs.
Let's try to figure this out.
Yep. Exactly.
And the park that they were in, where the building that he rented, was light industrial zone for light industrial. So that's where Industrial Light and Magic, the name, came from.
Oh, that's cool.
But that movie created that company that has done special effects in, you name the movie.
Yep.
Oh, a million.
And they've
of
done
them.
Something in it.
Or have inspired the methodology behind what
everything
they do.
Everything changed with Star Wars.
Right.
Yes.
And,
yes, it did.
And, you know, even though I find them getting more ridiculous as they have more in the series, the Fast and Furious series, I mean, they make cars. They make cars on ropes, like swinging from building to building and things like that.
Yeah.
But it somehow looks real.
Yeah,
in this one, they have a car go over a rope bridge, and it looks real. You're absolutely right.
Don't they go into space? I've been seeing a lot about
that's probably number
driving a car in space.
That's probably number
they
10.
They do go.
Know.
They do go into space. I won't say any more than that. But
there's a car
do.
In space.
There's a car in outer space.
Is it Elon Musk?
No.
It's Richard Branson, isn't it?
I haven't seen it, but Twitter was loving it. And they were like, I'm not going to ruin the movie. I just want you to know there's a car in space, with a gas pedal and a steering wheel. Like, that's going to do anything.
Seriously, you can't steer a car in space. There's no road.
That's when your fans don't care anymore.
No.
They just want to see this movie franchise.
They want to see Vin Diesel's bulging biceps and a cool car. That's what they want to see.
Absolutely. And the guy, Ludacris, is one of the guys in the car in space. And
he's been in the series for a while. Yeah.
He is hilarious.
I think he's been there since number two, I think. He was in Tokyo Drift number three, but he was number two and then four and the rest. Yep.
I haven't seen one movie.
Oh, there's something you should do over the vacation. Watch the entire series.
Nah, I'm good.
Exactly.
You know what? I think they're fun. The first two are really good. If you want to skip the third one, you can and come back to it because they introduce characters.
The cars are cool.
If you at least get to five, like after Fast Five, it takes a serious turn ridiculous.
Once the Rock.
Hold on.
Yeah.
But can't I just watch a trailer and get it? Like, do I need to watch 2 hours or can I watch 3 minutes?
90 minutes, yeah.
Is there going to be a scene in there where I'm like, wow, that was some great acting?
You know,
or am I going to follow the story and say, oh, that was some story?
You know, this is why I don't recommend movies to you anymore.
You put your mind on hold and you just enjoy all the smack-ups.
On this one, like, there are movies I should sit and watch, but that's not one.
I mean, most of the James Bond movies, you can sit and watch a trailer and be like, I get it. That's the bad guy. That's the good guy.
Right.
He's going to win at the end.
You know, he's going to live. Exactly right.
The point is to go with the, you know, through the whole thing with all these characters.
How much time do you have left in your life? Like, how much time do you want to spend?
There's going to be one of those scenes where, like, you know, where the villain tells him how he's going
to
die, and somehow he's going
to
get out of it. If you just kill him and don't talk about it, it's done.
Yeah.
In The Godfather, this went boom. That was it.
Okay. This is the guy who said Tron is a great special effects movie.
I know, because it was like one of the trendsetters. It started the whole thing.
It was. Yeah. It was. It was.
Right.
It's Joe bailing out AJ right there.
Thank you, Joe.
Joe's a very nice man.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.